And then I read where he put on a fire retardant kind of cape, you know, was soaked in gasoline and lit himself on fire. And I thought, oh, that's cute. But I actually did know a guy who lit himself on fire to propose. He died, but it was a great, he doused himself with, excuse me, gasoline. He was a Buddhist monk. And honey, I'd like you to marry me. And by the time they put him out, but it was a great thing. Hi, it's Phil Hendry, and that's a little bit of humor, although it, you could call it a little bit, or maybe not at all. There'll also be some in about 10 minutes with our flashback, but we're also going to talk, you didn't think I was going to go the whole night without talking about this London stuff, because it's on now, baby. Ah, yeah! Yeah, I know, George Bush caused it, right? I haven't even looked at my email tonight, and I guarantee when I get off the air, it's there'll be 8 million from all of those fringe people. Because they've got like 300 people in their little email group. What do you call that, man? Like a thread or a group or a coven or an email pit? They think the whole world agrees with them. You don't know what we all know out here. Yeah, you and your 299 friends. And I see the people that they email that they also copy. Me, Talk Left, NPR. You're preaching to the freaking choir, dude. I mean, why don't you email the Klan some of this stuff? Go ahead. See how long they listen to some of that crap. Go talk your crap to the Klan. Email, the guy down there in San Diego. Is he still in business? Metzger? All those Aryan guys? Email him. See, folks, there comes a time when you have to fight. If your wife is being attacked brutally in your living room, maybe then you won't blame Bush, or is it still going to be his fault? In other words, how close does it get to your house before you say, okay, I'm going to do something, I'm going to fight them? How close does it get? Now, then I get this, well, when 9/11 happened, everybody was united. We went after them in Afghanistan. No, not everybody was united, man. You should have, like, even back then I was getting the email from these jackasses. We shouldn't even be in Afghanistan. We shouldn't be in Iraq. We shouldn't even be in America. We should get out of America. America, out of America. Why? Because the engines own it. We should all go back to Ireland, Germany, Bavaria, whatever redneck joint we came from, and leave it over here to the native folks, because that's the only cool, groovy thing to do. You know, there is such a thing as history and the destiny of peoples and certain cultures having a moral superiority over others. I'm not saying that we're superior to Indians, but I'm saying we're damn sure superior to Al-Qaeda. I had a big conversation with my brother-in-law years ago after the Iraq War. He said, "Are you saying we're morally superior than others?" I said, "Yeah. What, are you crazy?" "Yes." "Well, but this country's way better than what Saddam Hussein's doing. Are you nuts? All countries are equal." "No, they're not, man. No, they're not. No, all countries are not equal." The one good thing out of this thing in London is this. The Brits are not these Spaniards. It's a whole different ballgame. See, these limeys, they don't like having their face pushed in it. The Spanish, you have to understand, come from a long line of sort of dictatorial-style governments anyway. Remember that their democracy is only about 30 years old. Before that, they had a guy named Franco. He was pals with Hitler. In other words, Spain is brand new to this whole idea that in order to have a democracy, you got to go out and kick a little bit of ass occasionally. And what happened today in London is going to do one of two things. I can't really predict right now, but my sense is the British are going to be way more pissed off about this than the Spaniards, in the right direction, as opposed to, "That does it. We're pulling out of Iraq and we're pulling out of Afghanistan. It was a meaningless war and we shouldn't have been there in the first place. And why? And look what you did. You made us do all this stuff." Whereas the Brits realize, as the more intelligent people among us, you can't run from this. What do you think? You're going to run from it? You think it's going to not follow you here? Do you think it's going to go away if we get out of Iraq? Huh? Do you think it was going to go away if we never went into Iraq? And I know all of your arguments about WMDs. Here, I want to make you all feel better. Here it is. Because I was talking to my friend up in San Francisco today, because she said the same thing. There were no WMDs. Okay, great. I admit it. There were no WMDs. Then you admit Bush lied. Okay, fine. If you want to say that he lied, fine. You admit, yeah, anything that you say is fine. It still doesn't make the war in Iraq wrong. Well, how can you say that, man? I'll tell you how I can say it. Because historically, this is exactly the right action at this moment in history. Going after this band of fanatic fundamentalist theocrats who are fascist in their application of government, if you can call it that at all, and who are terrorists in the way they go about spreading their, you know, ideology. Yeah, absolutely the right thing to do. And, you know, Bush didn't lie, man. If he positioned himself to the American people so that he could make a war with Iraq inevitable, yeah, I suppose he did. He wanted to go after Iraq. But you didn't have to freaking read a Downing Street memo to get that, man. You could read Robert Woodward's book, Path to War. What are you, nuts? Hey, why are they suppressing the Downing Street? They're not suppressing the Downing Street memo. It's like it's boring compared to Woodward already wrote it. Bush admitted it. He wanted Iraq. Why? Because, yeah, there was a thing called Al-Qaeda, and they went after us on 9/11, and that was bad. But Iraq had been over in that part of the world, fomenting, sponsoring, generating a climate for terror, as well as actually sponsoring these terrorist camps for a long time. It's all a fact of, it's a historical, and it is a ready fact. British intelligence, Russian intelligence, French intelligence, you name it. If you don't like what the CIA said, man, then why don't you go start screaming at the Russians, too, and the Brits, and the Francos, because those cats all said the same thing. The problem is, these people that are against the war in Iraq are not really all that intelligent. They're more kind of, they're like on a schoolyard. They think that daddy really is control of everything, and everything that goes wrong, daddy is the one who made it go wrong, and daddy in this case is Bush. In other words, there is no dangerous world. Daddy's in control. And if something bad happens, daddy caused it. I don't, you know, I love you guys, man, but you people that are against this war and against this action, this action against terrorism, you're simple-minded, man, and a lot of you ain't all that bright either. Forgive me, I'm sorry, but it's just, I'm getting so sick and tired of listening to you and this WMD thing. What are you, children? It's not about WMDs anymore. And if you want to say that it was and that Bush lied, well, then guess what? Clinton lied, too. You know, Bill Clinton doesn't blame George Bush. Bill Clinton had terror attacks during his administration. I voted for President Clinton. I don't blame him. We were what we were, and we are what we are. We knew then what we know then, and we know now what we know now, and what we know now ain't all that much different from what we knew when, other than the fact that we now know that we got to get up off our dead asses and go after it. Talk about Bush knew. Get out of here, Bush freaking knew. I just heard this thing on the news like, what, 2 weeks ago that the FBI and CIA were screwing up their information, exchanges in January of 2000. Now, if memory serves, that's like 8 months before Bush even got elected freaking president. How do you explain that? I guess that's his fault, too. Then some jackball sends me an email, and he's got a list of things that, terror events that President Clinton prevented. Now, I want to believe the best about President Clinton. But you can't prove, just because you throw a whole bunch of words into an email and make a categorical statement that President Clinton, he stopped the attack of 29 aircraft. President Clinton stopped an attack on Boston Airport. President Clinton stopped. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact. No, it's not a fact. First of all, you have no proof for it. You guys that are all about proof of WMDs, how about giving me some proof of some of this bullcrap you guys are spreading around? When I say you guys, I'm speaking selectively to these jackballs that email me and these people that are against this freaking war. Hey, where's your proof, man, that the 100,000 Iraqis have been killed by coalition troops? Don't lay that John Hopkins thing on me. I already told you about that. Go ahead. Prove that. Prove to me there was torture at Guantanamo. Prove it. Prove to me there was actual rape and murder at Abu Ghraib. That's what everybody said. There hasn't been any proof of it. Go ahead. Prove it. Prove to me that 5,000 American soldiers have died from a depleted uranium. Prove it. Don't just start laying this stuff out in blogs and emails and websites and newscasts without any proof, and then you're holding everybody down to a freaking pubic hair proof on these WMDs. And if the cat can't come up with the actual crossing the T's and dotting the I's, you call the guy a liar. Now, what are you going to say about this Al-Qaeda thing in London? That I haven't heard before. It's Bush's fault. If we hadn't gone into Iraq, then none of this would have ever happened. What caused 9/11? Oh, I know, Bush did. All 8 months of his presidency. Yeah, that's right. You know, after a while, you ought to hear yourselves, because, good Lord, man, you cats ain't making no sense. That's right, 8 months of the U.S. presidency of George Bush created the entire environment it wasn't even thought about before that. The fact we had the World Trade Center attack, forget it. The fact that we had the coal, forget it. The fact that the embassies got hit, forget it. The fact that there has been terrorist attacks in this country and abroad for years, no. It all got invented on George Bush's watch. I'm a Democrat, man. I voted for him. You want to know why? Because I couldn't stomach voting for Kerry. I couldn't hold my nose tight enough to vote for that guy. You know, I might have been born at night, baby, but it wasn't last night. And you're going to throw some jackass up in front of me like that, who's all things to all people. You know what? I got all things for all people. Want to see it? Thank God for President Bush. At this particular point in our history, thank freaking God for that guy. Then I got another email from a dude who calls himself a trend researcher. He predicts trends. He's a trend researcher, and he predicts trends. Okay. And he wrote this email that said, well, this is what I've got to say. I just think that, this and that and this and that. I said, here, I predict a trend that Bush is going to be one of the greatest presidents in 50 years. The history books will say that he was one of the greatest presidents. And he comes back. This is how intellectual this guy was. When hell freezes over. I said, well, I know history, and I know that great men and women are vilified in their time. They polarize people. They're either hated or loved. Now, Hitler was not exactly great because he perpetrated murder and basically the degradation of society and civilization as we know it. George Bush oversees a country that I happen to think is a pretty good place. He's the president of a great country. That makes for great people. So anyway, thank God for the Brits, because I got a feeling their reaction to this is going to be decidedly different from what a lot of people in this country would like it to be, what the Spaniards were doing. The Al-Qaeda figures they can muscle the Brits like they did the Spanish. You guys might have just guessed wrong. I don't know. But I think it's going to be great. And it may finally crack out the big one, the one that I've been waiting for. Nuclear annihilation. Yes! All right, you're looking at me, Clinton, like we just got to go to a break, man. You are looking so freaked out, man. God, I can't wait for Newman to get back. I'm kidding. I'm loving you being here, pal. All right, we'll take a break. 1-800-449-8686. We also have our flashback request coming up in a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Flashback now. It's a bit from previous shows that we're going to play. And if you have a request, you can email us at phs@philhendryshow.com. This is a bit from a Doug Danger appearance. Doug, the gay man and gay journalist. Now, this comes to us from Steve in Albany, New York. Hi, Phil. The bookstore must have run out of Doug Danger's masterpiece, Tough Love, Reflections of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. So do you think you can play any part of that most awesome Danger appearance? Steve in Albany. Here it is, brother. It's almost 2 years old, from 2003. Doug Danger.
I'm not gay and I'm not a journalist, but I tell you what, I got four great kids. If somebody were to walk up and say something like that to me, they'd be on the floor bleeding.
Well, what's the point? I'm just being honest with you. I've never seen your family, but these people looked idiotic.
It doesn't matter. Everybody has a right. And whether or not you want to walk around and flaunt your homosexuality, fact that you're a journalist doesn't give you a right at any time to walk up and be rude and obnoxious like that.
I'm being honest.
My sister is a journalist in California. No, you run your mouth. You let me talk.
You know I'm gay, right?
You're on my nickel.
You know I'm gay.
I don't give a damn. I think you're
Waiting,
sick your for
nickel,
being.
That's, you call, I think you called an 800 line, sir.
You're sick for being gay.
You call an 800
that's
line,
wrong
sir.
To begin with, but
Lee,
you
I
run
appreciate
around
your
and
family,
run your mouth.
But
and
if I felt your children were dirty, I'd tell you. I mean, why can't you appreciate the gift I'm giving you of honesty? If
you're just a sick pig. Kids get dirty. You were dirty as a child.
Yeah,
you
but
got
you don't
dirty. Your mother
to
had to wash
that
you.
Way.
But, I mean, geez, it seems like you act like somebody should be walking around just falling at your feet and kissing the ground because you're gay and you're a journalist.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Guess what? People have rights, and you don't have the right to walk around and talk like that to
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. You're right. People do have rights. But I am giving you
no,
the gift
no
of honesty.
No, there's no but about it, and you're not the person who's so special as to walk around and insult people and their children.
I'm courageous.
I mean,
if
my
I came
God,
up to you
to walk
and
up and
I
tell
said,
my grandmother she was pathetic, she'd drop you to the ground, too.
I think many of these old people need
I
to be told they look
the
pathetic.
To stand up and be a man,
I
you
have.
Want to walk around and be obnoxious and rude.
I have
what,
done that, Doug. And
right
Lee,
there,
if I
right
said to you,
and,
you need to shave that mullet, you'd be angry.
I don't have a mullet.
Well, you're a liar, because I know...
You can't call him a liar.
Oh, come on. You don't have a mullet.
Hey, bud, I got a crew cut. I haven't had a crew cut since I got out of the Marine Corps.
All right, Lee, let me ask a question of Doug here. Chapter 10 of your book, you walked up to a woman with a...
That's correct, yeah. Phil, I'm giving her the gift of honesty. You could smell her...
Oh, my God!
Well, I'm...
Man, you just need to be in a hospital somewhere.
You're
really a very rude, obnoxious, nasty person.
Look, I'm a gay man.
I mean,
and a
you
want
to approach a woman with a... You know, it sounds like you're the person that needs the flushing because you're full of it.
Well, there you go. And we had to edit that word out because who knows? We could get fined. We could become cited. We could become werewolves. So it's a word that probably we get, you know, in trouble for, so we had to edit it out. But it starts with a D, it ends with an E, and it's spelled D-O-E. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So the headline here says, the hunt intensifies for London terrorists. Let me ask somebody a question here at this juncture. I hear everybody saying, we ought to get Osama bin Laden. That ain't going to do nothing. Even we get that guy, he's got 9 million other guys who look just like him doing the same thing. If we'd gone after Osama bin Laden... Yeah, we didn't go after Osama bin Laden? I thought we did. Oh, we didn't do it good enough. That's right. What we're supposed to do is invade Pakistan. Is that it? What in blue blazes are these freaking people talking about? I'm listening to this cat say, well, he was John Kerry. I say this cat. I'm talking about it like he's doing some freaking religious show on a, you know, a radio station up at the ghetto end of the dial. I was hearing this guy the other day. Well, was it Kerry? Yeah. When he was running for president, this guy says, we should have gone after Osama bin Laden. We should have gone into Tora Bora. We should have gone into Pakistan. All these people who say that we shouldn't have gone into Iraq are telling me now we're supposed to invade Pakistan on a hunch that the guy's in there. On a hunch. Where's your proof? Woo! Look out, baby. There's that word again. Well, I'll tell you right now, man. I just don't even want to hear it anymore. I don't even want to have any communication with these people. Because if we don't take the biggest nuclear bomb that we have and just drop it on the entire Middle East now while the getting's good, now while we have the muscle. You remember that guy in The Godfather, Johnny Pantangeles? He says, hit him now while we have the muscle. We got to hit those Arabs now while we've got the muscle. And once and for all, solve the question of which is superior, righteous Western Christian democracy or the fanaticism of the Eastern Muslim. Yes, the swarthy hordes. Well, see, it sounds like I'm making a joke, but that's what it is. And it's not like I invented it, and it isn't like anybody you guys invented it. It's been going on for 600 freaking years. This isn't about oil. It's about the fact that they got their asses kicked at the Pyrenees Mountains back there in the day during the Moorish Wars, and it's been bugging them ever since. When the Moors invaded Spain. See, this is what I mean about history. If you don't know anything about this, you don't know the seeds of half of this stuff. Then it became about oil. And one of the real hypocrisies of any people in the history of the world are people who say they don't want a war for oil, and yet they get into their car every day without any thought whatsoever of what they would do if they didn't have the oil to power that automobile. They got no idea how they would defend their family, how they would get their kids in an emergency vehicle, how they would feed their family, nothing. They just make these glad little, these grandiose statements because maybe it gets them an extra free drink at a party or something. She wouldn't divulge the source for a story that she wrote that basically uncovered the identity of a CIA agent. And they're saying that she's in the same prison with Moussaoui. Like, yeah, so what? What, she's in the same cell? Yeah, that'd be interesting. If she was in the same freaking cell, but I don't care if she's in the same prison with Moussaoui. Boy, the sooner they put that guy in the electric chair, what is he getting? Did he get life in prison? I don't have, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, like, you know, a lot of times people write me emails like that one guy. Oh, how come you're talking about Pearl Harbor, man? You know what? When it starts banging on your own freaking door, man, 3,000 people got carved up in this country on 9/11 of 2001. And like, it seems like everybody's forgotten about it. or if they remember it, they've got religion. Yes, that's right. It's our fault. You really have got to just take that the college diploma you got and like chuck it into the garbage for you to even utter a word, a series of words like that means that you haven't thought at all or studied the problem at all. I get these people telling me, do you know anything about this problem? Here, let me give you these links. And they're all to websites that are completely unsubstantiated rumor mills too. But I can tell you what I know for a fact. I know for a fact that this country, the United States of America, it happens to be kind of a knee jerk on the part of the people of this country to immediately start blaming the president when things go wrong. They did it at freaking Pearl Harbor, whether you want to hear it or not. And as late as 1944, they wanted to get Roosevelt out of there because they said that he got us into a war we didn't need to be in. Well, guess what they found out in around, oh, I don't know, say July of 1945. Concentration camps. Turns out we should have been in that war. But all the brain surgeons over here sound a lot like some of these people that are against the war in Iraq, too, now that I think about it. It's a war we should never be involved in. You know, one of these days, maybe you'll have your eyes opened. Maybe not. But history will prove the question, and I believe it's going to prove this is the smartest thing we could have done. All those people that didn't even know, man, why we were fighting the Germans. We should fight the Japs. They're the ones that bombed Pearl Harbor. Yeah, until they finally found those concentration camps. People walking down a freaking road have been starved half to death, shooting blue dye into their eyeballs, all kinds of... I mean, what kind of a psycho society was that? Damn good thing we were over there. Now you take the Japanese, the same freaking thing, a bunch of animals. Hey, listen to this. You don't want to hear this? I don't care. If you're interested in the truth, this happens to be nothing I'm making up. This happened. The Japanese were on the warpath, man. They wanted the resources of Southeast Asia. The president didn't want to go to war against them. He wanted to go to war against Germany. Like, we really want to have a two-front war. Yeah, hey, I know it. Let's do this. Let's get involved with a war with Japan and Germany. And then we can split our resources and lose. That'll ensure my place in history. Yeah, that's really some deep thinking there, man. No, he didn't want to fight them. He made the statement, I do not want to fire the first shot against the Japanese. Now, why did he say that? Because he didn't want to provoke any armed conflict with the Japanese. Well, they're on the march right now, Mr. President. I don't want to fire. Now, do you know that some of these people that have websites and write books, some of these people that are just so smart, they hang on that one phrase, I don't want to fire the first shot, proof that he knew they were going to bomb Pearl Harbor. It's proof. Same kind of people that email me every night. Same kind of people that are probably hanging on my line right now waiting to talk to me. Same idiots. Aha! So he knew about the... No, man. He said he doesn't want to fire the first freaking shot. Now, who does that remind you of? Yeah, they blamed him. The fact of the matter is the Japanese wanted a war with anybody that were going to get into it, just like these freaking ragheads right now, man. They want to get it on, brother. Don't you understand? They want to get it on, and they don't want to listen to you. They don't care if you don't think we shouldn't be in Iraq. They don't care if you agree with them. They don't care if you think they've got justifiable reasons for being angry. They're going to kill you anyway, man. They'll cut your freaking head off just as fast as they cut off that other kid's head. They don't care that you understand that it's all Bush's fault. And they don't give a crap that you understand that we're robbing their resources. And they don't care. Because it ain't about that. It's not about truth for them. It's about returning to what they think is a sane lifestyle, which is the regimented, fundamentalist Muslim world. And like Harry just said to me, it really ain't about religion. Well, and he's right. It's not. It's about culture. But religion informs culture. They got something we want. And they got something they want to sell us. So that's the one area that we agree on, the oil. It's the one area that we agree on, that they got something that we want, and they want us to have it. The question is, what's the price we're willing to pay? And they keep jacking it up. Whether it's in terms of dollars or politics, they keep jacking it up. And we keep bending over. The funniest thing that was ever said in that presidential campaign was said by Mr. Kerry when he said, I'm going to talk tough to the Saudis. What are you going to say? What's tougher, man, than a freaking Abrams tank? What you going to talk tough about? What you going to say? You better lower the price of that oil. Yes, thank you very much. This has been really nice. By the way, you want some lamb before you leave? Really, I'll put it in some styrofoam for you. What? They don't give a crap about that. So they keep jacking the price, and we keep bending over, jack the price, bend over, jack the price, we bend over. And we bend over in a lot of different ways. And all of these people with their arguments, like that brain surgeon. I was sitting on a Dennis Miller show one night when Dennis was interviewing this guy who had written a book, said, you know that we sold Saddam Hussein all of that gas? Like, we don't know that, too. Yeah, and the French sold him a lot of stuff, too. You know, it's called sometimes you're in bed with some people. We wanted to take out the Iranians at that time. All right, so this guy thinks he's got a real serious revelation. Well, you know what? While we were selling him that gas and while we were doing all that stuff, guess who's driving around fat and happy, man, in your car with all the oil you need? Yeah, you and me. Then all these cats, like, got no job and, you know, maybe their girlfriend didn't get the orange juice, so they got to sit there in the loft apartment and paint another self-portrait and try to sell it on the street for $50. All these guys are saying, you know, things like, you know, no war for oil, man. I'm just not into that. Yeah. And you're the guy that's going to hitch a ride with me in my van and not even give me gas money. You freaking slob. Plus, you're going to smoke all my dope. I'm kidding. Get real. I think it's obscene to say that that what happened in London today has to do with some mistake that we made. I think not only are you stupid, I think you want to apologize to the people who died over there. You, not Bush, not me, you people that are against the war in Iraq, you want to apologize to those people. I mean, like, when are you going to fight? Like I said, when your wife and daughter are pinned down on the floor in the living room, are you finally going to pick a gun up then? Or is it always going to be somebody else's fault, man, until they're knocking on your little house door, huh? Until they're, like, your back door? I don't know. I could throw up. No wonder I got a drinking problem. Because of you! Well, I might as well take this opportunity to tell you that my wife and I are on speaking terms again, and actually things are going very well, so I guess we're not getting a divorce. All right, now moving along. So we're going to, I'll be back in a minute on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I know I'm on a couple of Air America stations, which for how long, I don't know, because as you know, it's free speech unless I've got the wrong opinion. What are you people kidding with that or something? I was on an Air America station in Madison, Wisconsin for about 3 days until I guess I just wasn't groovy, man. I wasn't laying down the, you know, the party line. And so I, you know, never forget the fact that I was funnier than anything that they've got. Forget the fact that they ought to have me doing mornings on Air America if it paid anything. God, I'd do mornings on Air America in a second if it paid anything. But because Al Franken's basically working for free, and you know what, Al, you sound like you're working for free, too. Holy God. You remember when he, like I said, you remember when he was funny? It was a great time when Al Franken was funny, but those days are dead and gone. Dead and gone. Like his co-host. Now, anyway, she sucks too. All right, so now look. What's her name? Clinton?
Catherine
something? Yeah, that's good enough. All right, now, on the Randy Road Show, and I know Randy, she's a nice gal, very talented lady, but, you know, she's probably got a pistol to her head, too. Don't you ever even betray any sensibility that might even be... I'm sure Randy's a liberal or whatever the hell. Dig this. This is perfect, man. Like, wow. What a revelation. Guest host Sam Sater questions the strategy of Bush's war on terror. Is London's attack proof that the Iraq war has put our country and our allies at greater risk? No. London's attack is proof that we're at war, that we did something we never should have done, I guess. We shot back. When they shot at us, we shot back. There was no other course of action to take other than what we did. Kick a little ass, baby, and keep on pounding until these guys recognize that we're not going anywhere. What was the alternative? More metal detectors, right? And then, of course, Michael Moore had this real genius idea. Even a friend of mine who was against the Iraq war laughed their ass off at this. Moore said, let's hire the Israelis to go find Osama bin Laden. Hey, like they need that. Like the Israelis really need the publicity and the PR of running around the Arab world trying to find some fanatical Muslim with this big Arab street following. Like there's not enough Jew haters down there as it is. So Moore's going to put the Israelis to work to keep his big fat ass safe while he shoves another freaking kielbasa into his snout. Okay, so that was his big idea. Then what was the other idea that we should do? Well, we'll go after him in Afghanistan, but now, you know, Iraq, we got to have proof. Got to approve those WMDs. Well, this is a larger strategy about attacking a part of the world, a region of the world that has created and that has promoted this kind of thing for years. Well, where's your proof? You know what? I ain't got none, and it doesn't make any difference. We're going in. Nations act out of self-interest. You want to know who first said that? Guy by the name of Washington. Ever heard of him? Pull out a dollar bill if you've got one. His kisser's on it. Nations act out of self-interest. It's as true today as it was 200 freaking years ago. No country does anything without their own interest at stake. So when you say to me that America doesn't care about the freedom of the Iraqi people, they only care about our own interests over here, I'm saying, yeah, when did you get a clue, man? When did you wake up? Did you just get out of bed? Ideally, what a country should do is act out of its self-interest and in doing so, help other people. That's what we try to do. Yeah, it's out of self-interest. You think the frogs are any different? You think the limeys are any different? You think the Russians are any different? You think the Canadians are any different? You think there's anybody in the world that doesn't act out of self-interest? The problem with the anti-war contingent in America, they all have the emotional development of a 12-year-old. They all think that it's all going to go away once daddy just cops to the fact that he made the whole thing up. It's a big, bad, scary story that daddy made up, and once he cops to it, everything's going to be cool. And daddy is Bush. Bush is going to cop to the whole thing, and he's going to say, it's okay, I did it. And they're looking for every kind of little clue. Look at this. Here's an email from a friend of mine who knows a guy who knows a guy. Why, did you see the Rodney Bingenhammer report? Did you see the Irving Farquhar report? Did you see this? Did you see that? They take every apple and every orange and they throw it into a basket and they think they got a freaking banana because it's kind of yellow and maybe if it stretched it out long enough, it'd be, you know, a little longer than what it is. I mean, maybe that's your fervent hope when it comes to your sex life, friend, but it don't work with fruit. It works with some fruits. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Do I need to break?
Yeah, please.
Thank you, bud. It's Phil Hendry Show. Bloody unconscious. It makes me want to go home and just turn on the gas. Just go ahead, stick my head in the oven, and just write a farewell note. Wave goodbye to everybody. Wave as I'm going into the house. Hey, thank you very much for the shot at tequila on the 4th there, John. Thank you. Just turn the gas on and just be done with it. There's just, you know what? There's no arguing with idiots. There's no, and if we got enough idiots, they're going to run the show anyway, so fine. I'm just, like I said, I was looking at the Air America, because, you know, it's radio, and that's the biggest, probably Air America is the largest sphincter in the radio universe when it comes to just dung. Man, they squeeze it out daily over there. Said, and I'm looking at their, you know, dig this, man, this is such good news. The problem is, it's all sort of, what it is, A, what's your source, and B, is there actually any proof of this, or is it just something you wish was really true? Here's one. This is the $8 billion belonging to the Iraqi people is unaccounted for. It's missing. Much of it unlikely ever to be accounted for, according to audits carried out by agencies of the U.S. government. Oh, they didn't say that. They didn't say it might not happen. It might not be there. We might not find it. It says the fact is that they did an audit, and there's a lot of money that they've moved around, and they got to find out where it is. It doesn't say that they don't think they'll ever find it. Now they're blaming Paul Bremer like he stole it. All this stuff never comes to anything, man. It comes out of their mouths, or should I say their the other end. It just comes out of there like a nice, solid morning log, but it gets flushed because there's nothing to it, man. You can't eat it. Then this is the only story they got no comment on. No comment on this story. At least 6 simultaneous explosions.